Moncrief with Gas Networks Ireland. Aren't you tired of that ugly fuel storage tank, having to order and write that big check for the delivery guy? gasnetworks.ie/move to gas.
A lot of people texting in on that cat story we just did, with perhaps not very helpful suggestions. Sandra says maybe they're all gone on their holidays. Maybe the cats were informers and were made to go away. Curry cats, that's all I'm going to say. Or an Alison says, cats like to roam. Is it odd that a big load of cats decided off to head off in a big cat adventure? What, together? And how did they know? Did somebody make a group a booking? You'd think there'd be some sort of record of that. Some cat would have gone into a holiday company and said, you know, I want to book 70 cat cabins for a cruise, and they would have known about that. It's well, hopefully it is one of those more benign explanations. Anyway, I'm pleased to say Barbara and Declan join us once again for So You Think You're an Adult. Good afternoon to you.
Good afternoon.
I don't think cats would go on a cruise.
Catamarans.
I think cats would oh, you're so funny. I think cats would fly. I don't think they go on a cruise. They don't like water.
Oh, do they not?
Yeah. I wonder if it was a big, though. It was a really big cruise ship. They wouldn't have to see the water.
Maybe, yeah. Yeah, maybe that was it then. A cat cruise. That'd be great.
No, it's there.
Not really. It'd be very noisy. And who's cleaning up after that?
Cats are very clean. They don't even need a whole lot of litter
poop.
Trays. Yeah, but they poop in litter trays.
Yeah, somebody has
and
to.
And they bury it.
In the litter tray?
Yes.
But somebody has to empty out the litter tray.
Well, unless you have outdoor space where they go out. We have cat doors. They go out the door. They do it in the garden. They bury it. You don't know it. You don't see it.
That's fair enough. Grand.
The only oak you have to pick up after is the dog.
Yeah. My wife has done up the downstairs living room, the kitchen and the loo, and now I feel like I'm living in a museum. We came into a bit of redundancy money there a few months ago. Thankfully, I managed to get another job pretty much straight away. So this meant we had some extra cash to splash on the house, which really needed a lick of paint, to be fair. She went off the reservation, though, and bought all new furnishings and fittings. The house looks only super as a result, so I'm not complaining about that. The problem is that I'm not allowed to live it in the way I used to live it. Now, I'm not a muck savage or anything, but I don't need to be screamed at if I forget to take off my shoes after a long day at work. She makes me wash my hands before I touch the white cupboards in the kitchen. And just tonight, which prompted me to write this letter, she put a towel between me and the couch. What would you do if you were me? I'm sick of being treated like a child with sticky hands every time I open the front door.
There is only one thing I want to know about this letter. And if he's listening, I hope he comes back and lets us know. Why on earth did his wife put a towel between him and the sofa? What is he doing that would necessitate a towel
between
him?
Well, I wonder what he does for a job.
And the sofa. Well, I if you're listening, you've got to let us know that, because I'm not going to sleep tonight wondering about that. But while we're waiting for that answer, I mean, like, yippee for you that you have a wife that went out and, you know, put all the work and the research and the energy into making your home into a super home, which you acknowledge. And it's very nice. It's lovely to come home after a day's work to a super home that's beautiful and clean and spotless and comfortable and all the rest of it. So let's take things one at a time. He's made sure he gets shouted at for not removing his shoes. Like, I like the idea of removing your shoes. I don't enforce it, but I like the idea. It's very feng shui, because, you know, as well as
feng shui.
Feng shui, is that how you pronounce it?
I wasn't sure you were trying to say functional.
No, feng shui, feng shui, whatever it's called. Because you not only bring in dirt, but you bring in negative energies with your feet.
Have you not heard of this?
I know,
This is bullshit Asians sell to us. They're
like
laughing
it.
Into
like
their
it.
Sleeves about all this.
But if you don't want to bring in the negative energy, well,
like,
you know.
That kind of negative energy.
That kind of negative energy, yeah.
Boo, bad humbug.
Yeah. I think News Talk should make Sean take his shoes off and leave them outside at the lift. Anyway, so why is he getting shouted at? Because you forget. So if your wife wants you to take off your shoes, put your slippers beside the front door so that when you come in, you'll be prompted to take off your shoes and then you won't get shouted at. Because the problem seems to be getting shouted at rather than actually taking off your shoes. As for washing your hands before you touch the cupboards in the kitchen, that seems a little excessive. But again, as you said, I don't know what you do for a job. So maybe you're a motor
mechanic or something. Yeah.
You know, somebody who comes in with very dirty paws, or maybe you're just reading the newspaper on the dart on the way home and your hands are full of newsprint. It seems reasonable. You're probably going to eat very shortly. So, you know, I think, what's the problem? Get into the habit of putting your slippers on at the front door and then going straight in and washing your paws, and all is well, except for the towel on the sofa, which I still want to know about. What would necessitate necessitate a towel between you and the sofa.
Yeah, maybe it's the kind of material that the wife has chosen for the sofa that might be just
the sofa is made from material not designed to sit on.
Sometimes they are, yeah.
No, would you start? Like what?
Like, I don't know.
Yeah.
Stuff. Have you been shopping for sofas? Have you walked into these places in these suburban malls? You walk in, you go,
I've never seen a sofa.
What is this horrible thing that, you know?
But I've never seen a sofa where they said, if you're going to use that, you'd want to be putting a towel down first because you'll wreck the material unless there's something else going on. Like, I have cats and they all sleep in the most comfortable places. So we have like throws that we put down on various comfy chairs so that everybody else doesn't get a hairy bum every time they sit down.
Yeah. No, so this guy seems to be slightly aware, though. I mean, he's not coming into this kind of like situation being like he's kind of self-aware and he's self-deprecating, calling himself, you know, not a muck savage and all that means. He's aware of what his wife wants and he's aware of what he needs to feel comfortable in his own home. And there's a little bit of a gap there that they need to bridge, that particular Rubicon. She wants to have a beautiful house. She wants it to be like something from Houses and Interiors. And he wants to be able to sit down and watch the telly or whatever it is and be comfortable.
Fart on the sofa, whatever
so
it is.
It's form over function and it's that particular thing. You already said it earlier on, Barbara, that you know, it's lovely to come home to a clean house.
It is.
Clean involves work and it involves effort. To put it into that particular state. So sometimes if you've put a lot of effort into making somewhere tidy and clean, it can be really infuriating if somebody comes in and does something as basic as putting their briefcase on the sofa or, you know, or keeping their shoes on when you've just hoovered and all that. So I think this situation isn't really about what, it isn't about what it's about. Two people kind of going, you don't get where I'm coming from, and they just need to kind of,
do you think maybe he's resentful that she spent all the redundancy money on doing up the house? Is that part of it?
No, I think the point of it is that he doesn't feel comfortable in his own sitting room anymore. There's too much kind of, you know, your home should be a place you relax rather than a place where you feel like, because occasionally, I mean, we probably all have that, you go into somebody's home and it's so designed to death.
You can't
go, God, this house would be lovely only for people littering up the place.
Yeah.
There's no comfort in it
and
anymore.
A lot of time design isn't comfortable. You can go in, and this is what I was joking about, you walk in, you see these sofas and they're not designed to be sat on.
Yeah.
They're designed to be looked at through like a
but
double
window. But you see, he hasn't actually said that, and I think he is self-aware enough to know that that's the issue. He doesn't like getting shouted at for taking his shoes off and for being made to wash his hands. Like, they're... And I think the two examples he gave, other than the towel on the sofa, I think the two examples he gave to me seem kind of reasonable.
I think they are reasonable.
The way that she's communicating it, that he's being reduced to feeling like a child, as he says. But I mean, I honestly don't see why he couldn't just take his shoes off when he comes in and wash his hands. Like, I don't really get like what the problem is.
Yeah, they don't sound like extreme things.
No, they're not extreme.
It must be said.
No, they're not extreme. So I think,
it could have been, of course, that in the previous regime before they did up the place, nobody really cared because it was it was all worn and a bit of a tip.
It's that thing, you know, for some bizarre reason, I'm remembering when I used to get new copybooks at the start of an academic year, and I'd open the copybook and I'd be drawing my lines and being all real prissy about my lovely copybooks. And then after 2 weeks, I'm like, who cares? Because the kind of thrill of the novelty wears off. So this is also a novelty phase. They're both, the wife particularly is kind of thrilled of her new, beautiful, brand new everything. You know, and he's pushing it towards it being slightly wrecked where she doesn't care quickly.
Yeah.
So she's resisting
I mean, the other thing is, if they've put a lot of money into the house, it does make sense to make a few changes to your lifestyle behaviour in order just to maintain the place as nice as you can. But I agree, there is a line over which, you know, it then becomes impossible to live. You know,
if it doesn't look like a museum, maybe they should just charge tickets in for people to come.
Well, I don't understand that the towel on the sofa, like, that would do my head in. Like, if somebody handed you a towel every time,
maybe
you
he's just got a sweaty backside. Maybe he's some sort of problem there.
Well, he'd not have his trousers on.
Maybe it's so sweaty.
Maybe that's really
that's lovely. That's a lovely picture now.
It's not a nice picture. Maybe he should give her kind of like, here's an open can of paint, dear, and let her tip it out. Or, you know, if he let her wreck something, then...
Do you think she would?
No, not deliberately.
No,
but put her, you know...
that's a horrible thing, to deliberately sabotage her beautiful home.
Yes.
Okay.
Because it's going to happen sooner or later.
Only if they have kids.
It's like when you get a scratch on your brand new stainless
car.
Steel.
Car.
Yeah. You know, I don't want to drive this car anymore. It's got a scratch.
My best friend and I went to the same college, work in the same industry, and this year started in the same company together. I've just gotten a promotion. I'm now a little higher up in the scale than she is, but it's never been an issue as we are not in the same department. Today, we both saw an advert for a great job in a different firm and we're talking about it over lunch. She was talking about how great it would be if she would get it, as it would mean more money and recognition for the work that she does. Now, the big problem started when I said I was thinking of applying for it too. She got very upset and said that it wouldn't be fair if I applied, because then she wouldn't stand a chance due to the fact I had more experience and that I should be happy with what I have. When I pointed out to her that we would need not be the only two people going for the job, she said it wasn't the point and stormed out. I'm now in two minds about applying, but I don't see, doesn't bode very well for any potential interview she might have. I'm now in two minds about applying, but I don't see why she is being so difficult about it. Why should I halt my career just in case she might get a leg up in hers? If it was the other way around, I wouldn't dream of asking her to do the same thing.
Yeah, this is kind of sad, and it's awkward because the harsh reality of this is that the more successful person in this story is in the right here, because the other person is essentially saying, I'm looking at you, somebody I know who I compare myself to and who I benchmark myself with, and I'm frustrated because I don't have with you what you have, and I see this opportunity for me which is over there, and now that you've signaled to me that you also might be considering this opportunity, reality has come into my dream, and now I've suddenly had to snap out of my illusion that I can get that fairly and squarely, but I can't because you're after making me realise that if the real world intervenes, I'm not going to get that position. Unfortunately, because you're friends, two worlds are clashing together. There's a world of friendship and there's a world of work, where in the world of work, you can just, you know, move along professionally and blah, blah, blah. Whereas friendship, emotion and all that kind of stuff comes into the situation and you have to tread more carefully because, you know, people have the capacity to storm out, which they wouldn't do, as you said, Sean, in a professional situation. If you storm out of a business meeting, you know, people just go, OK, better off without that person because you're not helpful. Whereas in you know, emotions allow you to go, oh, flip the lid and I'm going to storm out now.
Yeah.
So I think that for me, what I believe should happen here is that they both need to just have a straight up chat where they just go, listen, this is what's happening and this is not about our friendship. This is about career. This is about what I want to do. I don't believe this woman is applying for this job because her friend is applying for it. But I do think that the friend might think that you're only applying for this because I told you about it or whatever.
Sometimes you make me feel very inadequate because you see both sides. That was very nice about the worlds of the friendship and the worlds of work. Because when I read this, I just thought, you know, look at this is straightforward. Of course, you have to apply for the job. You know, it's not. It would be different if it was just you and your friend involved in applying for the job, that you were going to be in a direct competition with your mate and you were better qualified, so you more than likely will get the job. But that's not the case. Neither of you might get an interview. Both of you might get an interview. One of you might get an interview. There may be somebody more qualified than both of you. So the friend, as far as I'm concerned, is being very irrational in thinking by insisting that her mate doesn't apply for the job, that in some way it's going to make her better, because it's not. Do you know what I mean? You know, she's at whatever level she's at as regards experience and skill, and by taking her friend out of the equation is not going to make her achieve anything higher, because there'll be somebody else probably who would have equal or more experience and skill than her friend does.
So, and then sometimes, sorry to but sometimes in some situations, what you know, the environment where they're in at the moment, where one friend is more advanced, it might suit that friend, whereas the other job might actually suit the other person.
Exactly.
So they could both go for it, and the one who doesn't think she could get it might actually get it, because sometimes that stuff
happens.
It could
be different environment. Exactly, yeah. So, I mean, I agree with you. I think, you know, in the light of their friendship and in hoping to salvage or save their friendship, I think, yeah, for sure, they should have a conversation about it. But I think that if the writer of the letter is very rational and explains to the friend in very clear language that it's not just about the two of them, you know, it's about a whole load of other people who they don't know.
I think the other friend in the less senior position, so to speak, is just being childish.
It's being a bit silly, yeah.
Imagine it if it was like not a job, but like it was. Imagine it was a an object of their affection, if a man or a woman or whoever they're into. If it was a man And they were both, you know, oh, I really fancy him. And, oh, I think I kind of fancy him. Oh, you can't fancy him because then he won't go for me. It's, that's how stupid it is.
Yeah, yeah.
Because it doesn't allow for the fact that the other entity has its own
reaction. Exactly. Yeah.
So, and that's what makes it kind of dumb.
So I think, have a conversation. But at the same time, I wouldn't certainly put your career on the back foot in order because somebody else doesn't like it. If it's a job you really do want to go for it.
And not being in the same environment as the crazy person would probably be great for everybody.
Yes.
Yeah, not a bad thing. Right. Okay, speaking of fancying, I would love to ask my next door neighbour out, but I'm terrified of the mortification in case he says no. I've been living in my apartment for the last 5 years, and this year, Mr. McDreamy Face, that's what me and my friends call him, moved in beside me. We've had a few flirty encounters in the lift, and during the residence meeting this summer, we got on like a house on fire. I do feel a spark, would love to ask him out to dinner. What if he says no, though? I don't think I could handle the embarrassment of it, and I do see him almost every day. Is there even a way that you could advise me on the best way of asking him out? I've never asked a fella before out either.
I was trying to think back through the long decades of my life. I don't think I ever asked any fella out either, so I'm probably not best qualified. But having said that, I have a question for the person who's written into us. Mr. McDreamy Face, do you think he's very shy? Like, is he very unsure of himself? Is he very kind of reticent? I'm just wondering, would he give that impression? Because flirty encounters in the lift, and they got on great at the residence meeting, but he hasn't made any move towards asking you out. Don't wish to be mean, but asking you out for a cup of coffee or whatever.
Yeah.
You know, the spark you may have felt or seen mightn't be quite as bright as you would hope for. But that said, I always think, you know, life is about taking risks. And so I think, if you fancy...
He could be thinking the same thing. He could be thinking, if this doesn't work out, I'm going to be seeing this woman every day.
Every day.
Yeah.
I would, and I mean, I would stand to be corrected by Declan on this because he would have way more experience, I'm sure,
than
I do.
Damn right.
I don't know if I'd ask him out for dinner.
Yeah.
That's
what's wrong with this situation is that this woman here and her gal pals are sitting in the room obsessing on Mr. I mean, giving him a name and all that. It's all borderline creepy.
Have you considered bugging his eyes?
Yeah, it is. Like, you know, follow him to work and maybe ask him there. I think it's because it's like DEFCON 3, is that the high one? She's going from one situation he's not coming to ask me out to, will I ask him on a date? Mm. To no finding a middle ground. I think that she needs to manipulate a situation where the neighbour comes over to her house for a party or something. Yes. There's a situation where they can, you know, rekindle that imaginary spark that her friends have imagined from the last time they had a residence meeting or something. And just create that kind of situation, because if there is a spark, and it'll happen. Because sometimes, as we've said, asking somebody on a date is really awkwardly, you know, everybody fears rejection, and it's kind of, so some people would prefer to not put themselves through that shame, especially if you're going to see the neighbour all the time. So I think, putting yourself out there without putting yourself out there is the way to do it.
Have a party, or knock on his door and say, look, I just want to let you know we'll be having a party Saturday night. It'll be noisy. You're very welcome to come. It probably you best come because you won't get an hour a wink's sleep. That kind of thing. Or borrow sugar off him. That's what I was going to say.
Have you any butter, Andre?
Yeah.
All my lights. Find your circuit breaker, turn out all the lights, and knock on his door saying, oh, my lights have gone off. Yeah, I don't know what to do. You know,
that was what I was thinking. I think that's obviously the way to do it.
Something
sessions
like that. That would be great.
Well, I'm just a girl.
Someone suggests cook an apple tart and bring it over. Say you made too much. So made an extra one. Then say we should you drink some time and let it breathe from there.
Oh, I'd be, yeah. An apple tart is kind of weirdly
old-fashioned.
It is. That's a bit kind of Stepford Wives. Stepford Wives.
Nice twin set of pearls. Put your black shoes on and go over with the apple tart.
A lot of comment, though, on the fella who, you know, the wife house. Has done up the house. Vast majority of them are siding with him, I've got to say.
you are a filthy shower who listens to this programme, obviously. Don't wash your hands and don't take your shoes off.
Max says, have you ever thought it's his house too? He feels like he's not allowed to be himself in his own house. There's someone says, she makes me. Why can't he voice his discontent? What's wrong with him? Indeed. Aidan, on a point of information, says, my mother used to kill us for sitting on a new cream leather sofa in blue jeans. Apparently our sweaty arses caused the jeans to run onto the couch.
But that's true. They have signs in shops. If you go into these, they have, please don't sit on our white sofa because the ink may transfer from your cheap jeans.
Oh my God. Well,
have your buttocks perspire today, then do not sit on our couch.
Don't have white jeans.
Barbara and Declan, thank you both very much for talking to us today. We'll be back in a couple of minutes.
Moncrief with Gas Networks Ireland. Aren't you tired of that ugly fuel storage tank, having to order and write that big check for the delivery guy? GasNetworks.ie/movetogas.